I also welcome you all here this morning. Very special morning. It's always special to be here with you all. And yes, I just echo the words that Luke prayed. I pray that the words that come from my mouth this morning reach your ears and your hearts, because I truly believe that this is something that the Lord wants us all to hear. And I include myself big time in what I'm about to say. So yes, welcome to our first service of 2026. That doesn't roll off the tongue well yet, but yeah. And wow, how 2025 flew by. I don't know about you, but for me, well, I think there are huge chunks of 2025 that I don't remember. I know there's plenty you two will remember. You've had lots of adventures. But for me, the year went so fast that I kind of struggled to get my head around where it went. And I'd like to use a little quote or a little saying that was actually in Luke's Christmas cracker. We do homemade Christmas crackers because the commercial ones are just icky. And in each cracker, there's a little saying, hopefully, that pertains to something about that person. And the one in Luke's cracker this year said, all right, it was something about deadlines, which isn't really where we're going, but somehow it does fit in with what I'm talking about. And it pertains very much to 2025. And the little saying said, I love deadlines. I love the sound as they go whooshing by. And you know, for me, 2025 went whooshing by. And here we are in 2026. I think some of us didn't expect to see 2026, but here we are, and everything is in God's hands. So as we prepare to launch into the new year, what will this year hold for us as individuals, as a nation, as the world, which is in topsy-turvy mode at the moment, and what will it hold for us as a church? I thank God, and I'm sure you all do too, for sustaining us through this past year with all its challenges, both the personal challenges and in this wonderful family church where God has placed us. But what lies ahead? What does God want of us in this coming year? So I was led to touch on the subject of grow. Just four little letters, but big ones. God wants us to prosper and grow in 2026. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about growth in numbers for this church. Rather, I'd like to focus on our personal growth in our relationship with Jesus, to deepen our connection with Him and to draw closer and even closer to Him. So, will this be a year of spiritual growth? In 2 Peter Chapter 3, verse 18, we hear, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Simple prayer, but something we need to take to heart. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, we're given another message. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So with those thoughts, let's do some introspection. I'm going to ask you to examine your own self. I'm going to ask some questions. I don't expect you to stick up your hand and answer, but think about them. How is your spiritual condition in 2025? Are you a growing Christian? And what is the current state of your spirit? Now, you can answer that in a number of different ways. And as I ask those questions, if your answer was excellent, well, then you're doing great. If your answer was good, you're doing well. If your answer was fair, well, you're doing okay. But if your answer was poor, you're in a slump and you need some awakening. So think of your spiritual status right now, and let's explore some disciplines we can develop to improve our relationship with Jesus, no matter where on that scale you find yourself. You know, God does not grow or change. He is unchanging, immutable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is utterly reliable and worthy of our deepest and most solemn trust. He sent his son Jesus to show us the way back to him. And in his capacity as a human, Jesus grew. He took on our humanity, and in his human form, he changed. Like us, he matured. He grew in wisdom and stature. And throughout his life, he learned obedience to his earthly parents, but also obedience to his Father, God. So, like Jesus, in our Christian life, God expects continual growth, and this should be our lifelong pursuit, to grow in our knowledge and wisdom of our Lord and Savior. Think about growth. Now, I'm not talking physical growth here, I'm talking about spiritual growth. We hear a lot of talk these days about church growth and expansion, building bigger and bigger churches with more and more people. Numbers, numbers, numbers. But more important than physical growth of churches is personal, individual, spiritual growth. This is a good time at the beginning of the year to focus on our spiritual growth. For without that vital element, there can be no progress. And let's be honest, as time goes on, our enthusiasm to grow sometimes wanes. We get into a spiritual routine and we become lethargic. If you are stuck spiritually, God wants you to get out of that rut and to grow. No matter how long you have walked with the Lord, every new year must be a challenge to grow further. You will not grow without deliberate effort. You need to put in the work in order to grow. So what then is growth? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God." Okay? Okay, so I was talking about how you cannot grow without deliberate effort. And we all need to put in the effort to grow spiritually. And today we have all kinds of fancy gadgets to measure all kinds of things. Our height, our weight, our blood pressure, our sugar levels. We have gadgets to measure how many steps we walk in a day, how much sleep we have, and to track how good the sleep was, all these fancy gadgets. We can measure all kinds of things about ourselves physically. But if there were a tool to measure your spiritual growth and status, what would you find? Jesus taught his disciples the key to spiritual growth in John 15, verse 5, where he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Remember those words, without me, you can do nothing. So here are some tools to measure our Christian growth and methods to keep growing in our relationship with Jesus. And the first tool I give you is to abide in Christ. Until you come to terms with the reality of your need to abide daily with Christ, you'll be a yo-yo Christian, on fire one day, and burnt out the next, up and down, up and down. John 15 verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." and we have asked what we desire for Dave, healing. Abiding in Jesus means living in a close, dependent relationship with him, drawing life from him, just as a vine, a branch draws life from a vine. And his words, abiding in you, means going just beyond reading. It's about allowing his teachings to take root in your heart, guiding your thoughts, desires, and actions. And asking what you desire. When your desires are shaped by Christ and his word, your requests align with his will, making them prayers he can and will answer. So in simple terms, to abide in Christ means to remain in, to stay in, and continue in a constant, committed, called-out relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. So the way to have Christ live in us is to have his word in us. The word is our food for growth. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now we receive the word in many ways. Listening to the word of God, taught or preached. Reading the word of God. Studying the word of God. Memorizing the word of God. Thinking on the word of God. And applying the word of God to our lives. The second tool I want to give you is praying in faith. Praying is a discipline vital for spiritual growth. We should all have or be developing and maintaining a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer must become part of our daily life because prayer is our communication with God. And by talking to God openly, honestly, and often, we can experience the presence of God. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should." Then the third tool for growth is fellowshipping with believers. Fellowshipping refers to that special relationship we share with fellow believers. Our mutual faith in Christ builds a bond of communion and commitment with one another. We need one another. We are a family. John 13, verses 34 to 35 says, and we all know this one, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Big, bold words. God has provided a home for his children, and that home is called the church. This is the place where relationships are nurtured, where love is expressed, compassion is shared, encouragement is offered. It is the body of Christ here on earth, a living, growing body. So if you are to abide in Christ, you must abide in his church. You grow with the people of God. You cannot grow alone. And then the fourth tool says, not only are we to have a relationship with other believers through the church called fellowship, but we are also to have a relationship with unbelievers in this world. And that is called witnessing. John 15, verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So Jesus tells us that the way to show that we belong to him is to bear much fruit. Witnessing is the natural outgrowth of the abiding and growing Christian life. If we are living in His Word, praying in faith, and fellowshipping with believers, it will be natural to share with others about Christ. Bearing fruit is more than just speaking to unbelievers. It is living a life that reflects the love of Jesus so that they desire to have what they see in us. So to have and grow a close relationship with Jesus, we must practice all four of these disciplines. Living in the Word, that is, Bible study. Praying in faith, that is, having a regular, healthy prayer life. Fellowshipping with believers, that is, regular and faithful church attendance. And witnessing to the world, that is, sharing your faith with others. Take those four tools with you. God has plans to prosper you in many different ways and plans to use you for His glory. He will meet your needs in Christ Jesus. But will you commit yourselves to growing in the presence of God in this new year? Remember that the alternative to growth is stagnation. And that has a horrible ring to it, doesn't it? So as we look back on the year just ended, can we take time to thank God for all His goodness to us, not only in the year past, but in the years past? It is time to praise God for His faithfulness in the face of our unfaithfulness and failures. Seasons change, circumstances change, but God never changes. So let us look forward with eagerness and hope for the year ahead. Look back and thank God. Look forward and trust God. Look around and serve God. Look up and seek God. Amen.